And the introit, the choir is saying, declare the voice of joy and let it be heard. Declare it even unto the ends of the earth. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Everyone likes a sunny day. This morning, the sun surely did burn off the early morning mists, and we see the effects that it has upon our moods. It brings joy to our hearts, some happiness, and even feelings of hope. Pope Pius XII, back in 1943, I believe it was, he gave a talk to newlyweds, and he said, the wife and mother is the sun of the family. With generosity and devotion, with constant readiness, she watches over and provides for everything that helps to make life happy for her husband and children. She radiates light and warmth. It is usually said that a marriage is successful when each spouse strives from the beginning to ensure not his own, but his partner's happiness. And although this noble sentiment concerns both parties, it is the chief virtue of the wife, who is born with a mother's instinct, a heart full of wisdom, that wisdom which returns joy for bitterness, dignity and respect for humiliation, like the sun, which dispels morning mists at daybreak and gilds the clouds at sunset. What a beautiful quotation from the last true pope. Joy for bitterness, dignity and respect for humiliation. Wow, a tall order. But many of the parents of the saints, if you read their biographies, it seems that they had picture-perfect marriages where everything in their life seemed to go just perfectly. They got along very well together. They worked together, each one fulfilling their God-given roles in the marriage. And the results showed in their children. Think of St. Teresa's parents or Mama Margaret, who is the mother of St. John Bosco, or the parents of Pope St. Pius X. All of these parents worked so well together, and the results were a peaceful home and saintly children. But many marriages today, and all throughout history really, nothing ever changes, are not quite so perfect as those. Maybe the marriage limps a little bit, while one spouse is negligent and careless in his duties, and the other has to pick up the slack and be very dutiful. But don't despair if you're in that sort of a marriage, because God has raised up saints in those, just for you, who are in those same circumstances. I'm thinking this Mother's Day of St. Monica. Her feast day, I think, was last Monday. Whenever the clouds of vice threaten to cover up the light of the sun and bring ruin to Monica's family, it was then that the light of her virtues shone forth and brought true happiness and peace to the home. She truly lived out her role as the sun of the family, returning always joy for bitterness and dignity and respect for humiliation. Her marriage was a very rough one. She was born in a Catholic home in Africa, but for some reason, we don't know why, her parents arranged for her to marry not a Catholic man, but a heathen, a pagan man named Patricius. This man, he had quite a temper, was very violent, perhaps they say the most violent of the town, and everyone knew him for that. He was indifferent to religion, and he was unfaithful to Monica. He would often, throughout their marriage, break out into angry curses, and yet all the while, Monica, the son, she would remain calm and never contradict him in those moments of passion, but always waited until he was in a better mood, and then, and only then, would he gently point out to him where he had gone wrong. He, on the other hand, always found fault with all of her virtues. When she prayed, he grew very weary of it. When she gave alms, he thought she was being excessive. He thought it strange that she should go out and visit the poor and take care of the sick and love the imprisoned and take care of them. They were not on the same page in anything in their marriage, and it showed. At every step along the way, Saint Monica would meet with 1,000 obstacles to a peaceful marriage and even to saving her own soul. It truly was enough to cause even the best of wives to lose heart and maybe even think of packing up and leaving home. But Saint Monica, being the son of the family, she had a much loftier view in mind. She didn't enter marriage for any selfish motive. She instead, as she looked at her husband, she understood that God had entrusted this poor soul to her care, that he needed help if he were ever to get to heaven. And she realized, too, that if they were to get to heaven together, it had to be together, or perhaps not at all. And so, rather than complaining, she set about the task. She obeyed, think of that, and respected him, even when he least deserved it, when he would curse at her. She never corrected him while he was angry, but bore all sweetly and mildly as her cross. Saint Augustine said of her in these times that she used neither word nor argument nor reproach. In lieu of preaching virtue, she practiced it. She strove always to be humble, patient, modest, and devoted. And most of all, she suffered in silence and wept in secret. Poor Monica. But her gentleness and little proofs of her love for Patricius, shown over a period of 17 years of their marriage, won his heart and won him to God. He converted only, I think about a year before he died. But her cross was not taken away. She had many another cross to come. At the same time that her husband was giving her such trouble, her mother-in-law, she lived with them, and the servants of the house, they were doing all they could to make the training of her children, her three children, difficult. And as a result, she eventually saw one of her sons, Saint Augustine, fall away. Another pain that would cause even the best of mothers the greatest discouragement. And yet Monica, shining like the sun, eventually brought light to her son's darkened heart. Augustine, they say, he fell into error, even believing heresy. He left the faith. He fell into many serious vices. He was Monica's wayward son and the heartache of his mother. Saint Augustine wrote many years later, "She looked on me as dead, and therefore she bewailed me with deeper grief than mothers weep for the bodily death of their children. At one point, things became so bad in that house that St. Monica had to drive him out of the home. He came home one day and declared that he was a heretic, and she, being a lover of the truth, but also a lover of her son, she did what she thought best and told him he must leave. Sometimes a mother's duty is very difficult. They say that at that moment, her whole being seemed shattered. But instead of giving up, she immediately turned to God in prayer. And God showed her in a dream that night that her son would one day convert. And after this, she regained her confidence and took him back into her home, but would never debate with him on his false beliefs. But again, by her shining example of virtue and her constant prayer and motherly example, she would eventually win him back. Well, everyone knows the incident involving St. Augustine's leaving home to live in Rome. Do you remember that? Well, Rome at that time was not a good place to send your children. It was a place you would send them to lose their souls. And Monica, knowing this, she feared all of the evil influences of the city. And so she went to Carthage, where Augustine was staying, and told him not to go. And eventually, Augustine said he wouldn't, but he admitted later on in life that that was a lie that he told. And he regretted it every day of his life afterwards. And he still planned to go. But Monica, she, just to make sure, she went to the seashore from which the ship would take off. And she was there early in the morning, just walking along the water, just to make sure that Augustine did not get on the ship. Sure enough, they came down and were about to board the ship when they saw her. And for the whole day, St. Monica walked with Augustine and his friend, much to their embarrassment, just to make sure he did not leave. The whole day they did this. Monica, the mother, watching over the soul of her son. Evening came, everyone was getting tired, and Augustine looked at his friend and said, It looks like we're not going to board the ship tonight. Maybe we should all go get some rest. So St. Monica, instead of sleeping, she went to a nearby church and she prayed all night long with the greatest fervor, with the intention that Augustine not leave for Rome. All night long she prayed. The sun rose the next morning, and Augustine was gone. He had departed for Rome. But you know how God works. Sometimes we pray for something, and he doesn't grant it because he wants to grant another prayer. In this case, he didn't grant this particular prayer regarding Augustine's departure in order that he could grant her prayer for his salvation. It was there in Rome, remember, where they met a holy bishop, St. Ambrose. There is a charming moment when St. Monica met Ambrose in the church. She immediately went up to him and told him the story of her son, all about how he's fallen away, all of his sins, everything like that, and begged him to please save her son. And the answer was not what you'd expect. St. Ambrose said, "The time is not yet. Let him alone. Just pray a lot for him." St. Monica was a go-getter. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She begged the bishop, she pleaded with the bishop, and all but kissed his feet to ask him for this favor. But St. Ambrose, knowing how to guide souls, he held his ground, and he told her gently, "Go your way. It is impossible that the child of such tears should perish." Well, little by little, Augustine would be converted, but it was a painful process. At one point, looking for the truth, he became so depressed that he became quite sick with the fever and almost died, and would have died in mortal sin. Then he recovered from that, but he suffered much from detaching himself from all of his vices. But still, behind all of these dark clouds were the prayers of a good Catholic mother who was the son of the family. An entire family, think of it, won over to God, and now they are forever together in heaven as we speak. And it was all due to a wife and a mother who lived her vocation as Pope Pius XII called her, the son of the family. They say, too, that a mother must have a priestly heart. I thought that was interesting myself. One cannot think of a priest without also thinking of the altar upon which he offers sacrifice. So the life of a Catholic wife and a mother is just that, a life of sacrifice, sacrifice which she must offer on the altar of her own heart. But to conclude, returning to Pope Pius XII and his address to newlyweds, what happens if the family is deprived of this son? What if the wife complains of how many sacrifices married life is costing her? Where is her gentle affection when excessive discipline and uncontrolled anger or annoying indifference smother in the child any feelings of joy and comfort at their mother's side? Where is that tender love and generosity when, instead of creating an atmosphere of welcome peace in the home by her natural simplicity and tidiness, she instead poisons the air by being a restless, nervous, and demanding woman of fashion? He said, "Is this the spreading of healthful rays of sunshine, or is it rather the chilling of the family garden?" Mothers, you're also dear to us. God made you to be the heart of the home and the son of the family. You are the one whom God chose to bring warmth and light and love and hope and comfort to family life. It is a hard task, a very hard one, but one which, if you dedicate yourself to it with all your heart and soul, will bring happiness to your home and finally peace to your heart. Don't ever lose courage, mothers. Look to the saints for example, and above all, turn to Our Lady, your heavenly mother, for courage. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.